Hello and welcome to this, the first episode of me putting out an episode from a talk I did live. On Saturday the 15th of February 2020, I did my first sort of TEDx showcase talk to the Professional Speaking Association Ireland branch, and my talk was called The Joy of Knowing Yourself. It became quite topical later on that day, as it was the day that Caroline Flack chose to end her own life. So the topic of suicide, which I discuss in this talk, became quite a hot topic on social media that night. More than a couple of people have sent me messages asking to listen to the audio. So this is it here, and there'll be a video up later on in the week once I get it all sorted out. Apologies for the quality of the audio. It's not as great as it could be, but a friend recorded it for me on his phone. So please, indeed, have a listen. Let me know what you think. You can hit me up on the usual channels on LinkedIn, where I tend to live. Thanks so much for your time, everyone.
Okay. Experience the joy of knowing yourself. Tell the talk, and I want you to keep that in your mind as we go through everything. Now, I've been sat down a lot this morning. Before you do any form of exercise, you need to do some warm-up. So we're going to be using our brains now. So we need to do some warm-up for our brains. I'd like everybody in the room to raise their hand, please. Okay, so that's exercised our brain and our mind coordination. Please keep them up. That's going to footwork. It's not that easy. Right, I'm going to ask you some questions. And if the answer is yes to the question, you can put your hand down. Who thinks mental health is going to be a big ticket item for businesses in 2020 on the island of Ireland? Who thinks it's going to be a tick box exercise for businesses? You can take it if you think so. Take your hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Are any hands left up as well? Were you born on a day with a Y in it?
Yeah.
There you go, that's all right. So clear, clean sweep there, we're good now. So now we've got the hard bell, the way we're all warmed up. Mental health is exactly the same as your physical health. But we just treat it as a God-given gift. We just assume that we're all going to have good mental health all the way through our life, and we've done something wrong if we don't. But look at any performance athlete. They train the body, they train the mind, they look at the nutrition, they look at the mindset, they do everything. Normal people, we just don't. So, what I want to do is know thyself as the first pillar of my holistic system. That's why I call it the Stevenson Way. And it was quite literally the way I patched myself back together after nearly 30 years of getting it truly and horrendously wrong. I had real bad mental health conditions. So, how did I turn it around? I'm going to take you back to the 31st of October 2017, around about 11 o'clock in the morning. I was dressed as I am now, rather sharply, in a nice three-piece suit, looking the part. I had to look after myself. My problem was I was about 33 kilograms heavier, so a bit wider. And I was sitting in a toilet stall, curled around the toilet bowl, sobbing my eyes out, covered in vomit, and incontinent because I'd retched so hard. Because I was a secret bulimiac, and I had been a secret bulimiac for, at that point, 37 years. I had never told anyone my dirty little secret. I had bulimia, I had post-traumatic stress disorder, I suffered with anxiety, I suffered with depression, and all the things that go along with that. A litany of bad life decisions and disasters were there. But I know from bitter experience, from that point moving forward, that if you do the hard work, if you do the learning, you can absolutely change the process of your life. And that is what I'm passionate about today, giving people instructions to things they can do to help prevent getting to the mistakes and the places that I was in. So, I said it all changed on the 31st of October 2017. But it was a long process after that. It took some time to go wrong with it. And the first thing I had to look at was I've gone low tech and we're still having problems with the technology. There we go. Honesty. I had to be honest with myself. Easy thing. Stop lying to yourself. Oh no. Simple word. Really difficult thing to do. We are programmed by society to lie to ourselves and lie to everyone else around us on a constant 24/7 basis. We We teach our children from when they're born, don't tell lies, lies are bad. But that child knows how to lie from the moment it learns how to talk. They just do. Instinctively, the human brain uses lying to protect itself. It's an inbuilt protection system. It's hardwired into the back of your brain. Society, social media, we're conditioned to put our best life, hashtag best life. Everybody's out living best life now. So you can't share your failures. You can't share the bad days. Some people do, but there's a whole pile of stigma goes along with that. What I did then was the honesty. I was honest with myself, and I put into place a very simple system over the next few months to try and understand that it all came from the premise you can't know where you are and where you're going until you know where you came from. And I was looking for one key fundamental thing. I wanted to learn to love myself again. Because when I was curled around that toilet, I wanted my life to end. I thought I was worthless. I thought I was an absolute failure. I thought I had nothing in my life worth living for. And how untrue was that? So, what I'm going to do with you is share three things that I did that were the first stages in making this the path to better mental health. And the first thing I decided to do is I needed to do a form of journaling. And this journaling was to go through my life with that honest sight in it. And I had to go through all the things. And you do this in two stages. The first one is the easy one. You do everything in your life that is terrible. But the only thing you're interested in is the facts. Because everything in your life has nothing to do with the facts, and everything to do with the emotions and the feelings and the thoughts and the mindset that you had in those periods of time. So I'll take one example that I used in my life. It's about 2007. I'd just been turned over for promotion for the third time. I should have been promoted. I was qualified. I was promoted. I was the best copper I had ever met in my military career. The rest of them were a shower of shite. I was number one. I was furious. I was angry. I was ready to go out and rip somebody's throat out. Fact was, it was the third year I didn't get promoted. Everything else is just my lens. My lens of self-belief, the lies I was telling myself to protect myself from the truth I didn't want to know. That particular one, it wasn't my year. There was other reasons for it as well. But this is what you're going to do. So what I do is I take all of the things that were bad and use them. This is where I bring in my two assistants, Ken and Barbie. Ken and Barbie are a well-known power couple, really successful lives. But I want you to imagine Ken and Barbie sitting on the top deck of a double-decker bus, and they're going along. Ken and Barbie, don't know why they aren't in the pink Cadillac, but they're on the double-decker bus. They're there. If Ken or Barbie would think something was bad, it goes down on your list. If Ken or Barbie would think, not whether you think it's bad, whether they think it's bad. What you're starting to get there is basically facts separated from emotion, which can allow you to start to look at things in an abstract manner. Think Mr. Spock from Star Trek as a logical captain. You've just got to get the facts down there, not the emotions. That's quite easy to do. I could sit down there and write on all my failures. Yeah, that was a disaster, that was a disaster, that was a disaster. I then had to sit down and do the difficult bit. The difficult bit was number two, doing this all over again, but this time the good things in my life, the successes, the things that went right, the shout out loud happy moments, I had to get them down. And I found that so difficult because from my lens, from my feelings and my emotions, my life had been one litany of disaster after another. But stripping out the emotions, going back to the facts, applying the objectives. So I said to myself, the promotion example, Ken didn't get promoted for the third year running. All of a sudden, all that emotions has gone out of it. It's just a simple fact. Why didn't Ken get promoted? So then you can start to look at it. You can bring your analytical processing part of your brain to it. So why didn't Ken get promoted? It wasn't his year. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't qualified. Perhaps he'd upset somebody that year. Perhaps he'd had a howler. Perhaps he was turning up late for work 4 days out of 20 because he was an alcoholic and a binge eater, and he had to change his clothes because he'd thrown up all over himself. Those were the facts about why, as soon as I made it Ken and not myself, I was able to clearly see it from that point of view. So, process says you then go through the good and the bad, the facts, and all the not the emotions. We're then going to move on to the next stage of it, is you need to look at my two favourite R words. And funny enough, they've already popped up in conversations this morning in the group, which is brilliant. React and respond. Now, there's a great book out there called The Chimp Paradox by Professor Stephen Peters that talks about this. But basically, our brains are designed to protect ourselves. That is their number one function. Socialist, civilization, that's all the stuff we put on the top. In any situation, you will react or you will respond. The react is the fight, the flight, the freeze, the fawn. Those are hardwired reactions. Your brain is going to go to one of those four and you're going to do it. So when I got told I wasn't promoted, I immediately went into fight mode. How dare you? All the rest of it. When other bad things happened, I ran away. When other bad things happened, I froze. That thing that you know you need to do, that has to be done for Friday, that you just choose not to do. And you don't know why you choose not to do it. It's freeze. Your body's gone into freeze. It knows that's a dangerous situation. It doesn't want to do it. So that's where the freeze is. Respond is when you have the tools and the abstractness and the ability to look at what's happened and then make a reasoned response using all the facts and the fictions that have gone on beforehand. So if you imagine now you've gone through this process, you have a book here with all the good things that have happened in your life and all the emotions that were attached to them. You have another one, which is all the bad things that happened in your life and all the emotions that were attached to them. The next bit is to get really difficult and into the hard work. And this, as they say, the old adage about the comfort zone, the growth is outside your comfort zone. So this is where you're going to do two things. You're going to be critical and you're going to be compassionate. You're going to be critical in that you're going to look at all of the good times and all of the bad times and look at how, whether you reacted or you responded. What was good about it? What was bad about it? What would you do better the next time? What have you seen other people doing? And what you're trying to do there is build some real clarity about your life and your decisions. And you go through it, I say be critical, but remember that I talked about the lens of your own self-belief. Everything I thought I did in my life was a failure. I had to learn to be compassionate and say, you know, that was just an honest mistake. The tech didn't work for me today. It wasn't anything I did wrong. It just was a bad day. I had to learn to have some compassion for myself. Because one of the things I talk on later in the thing is, you have to love yourself before you can love what you do or love anyone else. And if you can't be compassionate to yourself, forgiving to yourself, you're going to have a hard job being happy with your life. So you get critical and compassionate. That leaves you with your blank sheet. Because you've disclosed all baggage. It's all gone. It's just facts and all the rest of it. Then what you can do is you can do the analysis work. The vast majority is in and around business. And we all know about the concept of business analysis. So you look at what works, you look at what doesn't, you put it all together, and then you can look at how you reacted, how you respond, and get a better understanding of who you are, how you respond to good times, how you react to bad times. And that will help you on the first step of knowing yourself. And before I finish, I just want to explain one more thing about the joy of knowing yourself. I said it started on October the 31st, 2017. It didn't. On October the 31st, 2004, I was in Iraq, in Basra, on combat operations in the Royal Military Police. About 11 o'clock that day, my friend came looking for me, and we had an absolutely wonderful 15-minute conversation. Laughed, joked, made plans for when we were going to go home on what's called rest and recuperation. You're 2 weeks out of the theatre, away from the bombs and the bullets, to go home, get drunk, have fun, and all this. So we made plans for what we're going to do. She was going to come home and meet my wife. She'd never met her before. This was a girl I'd been friends with for over 10 years at that point. We said goodbye. We hugged each other, kissed each other. She told me she loved me. I told her I loved her, and off she walked. Less than 3 minutes later, I heard the gunshot, which was her taking her own life. For 14 years, I blamed myself. For 14 years, I punished myself for being alive when she was dead. 14 years, I binge it every October around the anniversary of her death. The process I just talked to you about started in October 2017. By October 2018, I was able to see the absolute joy of knowing myself, because I changed that memory to that lady chose to spend the last few minutes on earth with me. She gave me an absolutely incredible gift. She gave me the gift of her friendship, and she went and she took her own life, and she ended her own life because she thought that was the right thing to do for her. But she ended it happy, knowing that she was loved and I loved her, and that changed my whole life. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the joy of knowing yourself.